This morning, I want to share with you for a few moments concerning the title of our message today, We Must Forbear and Forgive. I really felt a couple weeks ago really stirred to share on forgiveness because I really believe there's like a cancer in the church for believers that I've heard it from different sources that people were not willing to forgive. And I think one thing we need to look at today is the point that God has been so merciful to each and every one of us. No one can deny that. He's been so merciful to each and every one of us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whomsoever should believe in Him should not, powerful word, perish, but have everlasting life. So He's been very merciful to me because I put myself in any position of anyone that is just out there doing their own thing, alone in the world without Christ. I put myself in there. I see myself there. It could be me. And so having so much mercy shed upon me, I am quick, and I thank God for it, to forgive. And that's why I said and stood before you a couple weeks ago and said, I don't know of anyone or situation that I have anything against anyone. Lord, show me if I don't, that I may be quick to ask You to forgive me and forgive anyone for what they may have done to me, even though they may be dead. May not ever see them again or anything. But there's a lot to be said about these scriptures in Luke chapter 7, starting with verse 36 through 50. And I want to say this again because this is what this is going to be about, this beginning paragraph. We must forbear and forgive. I'd like to say this, that it appears that those who are quick to forgive others realize that they themselves have been forgiven much by our gracious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is so powerful. In Luke chapter 7, starting with verse 36, Jesus is going to get involved here. He has something to say about this. Now, one of the Pharisees was requesting Him to dine with him. And He entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. We're talking about Jesus. And behold, there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. And when she learned that He was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume. Watch what this woman does. And standing where? Behind Him. I mean, so subservient. She stands behind Him at His feet. Behind and low. Not cowarding, but humbling herself. Wow. What a word picture. And not only that, she was what? What's your Bible say? She was weeping. She's down low. She's behind Him. She's weeping. She began to wet His feet with her tears. In other words, it wasn't just a little drop. She must have been weeping enough to wipe His feet and cleanse His feet with her tears. This woman was pouring out tears. Look where she was, behind Him, down low, weeping. And watch this. And kept wiping them with the hair of her head and kissing His feet, and anointed them with the perfume, most likely the perfume and only the perfume that she had, no matter how valuable it was. Wow. What humility. I'm so amazed. These scriptures are here not to be written to be wasted, but for us today to receive such an example of humility and repentance. And when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, in verse 39, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Wow! This righteous, whitewashed Pharisee says that if Jesus were a prophet, he would know who she is. And Jesus knew, he knew her before she was fashioned and formed in the womb. What are you talking about, you Pharisee? Can you imagine the humility in Jesus not to go off on him? To tell him who he was. You know, like he spoke to the woman at the well, "I who speak to you." You know, we know Jesus is coming. We know Messiah is coming one day, and he's going to tell us all these things. And Jesus said to her, the woman at the well, "I who speak to you am he." That would just liquefy me. That would just liquefy me. And this Pharisee has the audacity, if you were a prophet, you would be able to discern who this sinner is. Oh, Jesus knows who she is, all right. And he's getting ready to do something for her. Wow. Jesus answered and said to the Pharisee in verse 40, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he replied, "Say it, teacher." "A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. A denarii is a day's wage. One owed him 500 days of wages. Or what, about a year and a half or so. And the other owed him 50 days. When they were unable to repay, he graciously..." What's your Bible say? "Forgave them both. Which of them, therefore, will love him more?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have judged correctly." And turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. Verse 45, you gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet." Wow. I mean, precious woman. We don't have a name for her, do we? So many women and men in the Bible, they don't have names. You know why? It's not really important, because God has a name for them. It's written on their foreheads. They're going to be with Him forever, and this, she will definitely have a name. We don't even know who they are. And you know what? She didn't want to be known. She just wanted to hook up with Jesus. This has a lot to do with you and me today. God has been so merciful to us. Why would we dare even entertain a thought of giving someone else a hard time, and in our heart harboring unforgiveness, like you're going to do something to hurt them? "I'm not going to forgive you. I'm going to hurt you." No. No, 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 no. And to some people who are not spiritually discerning, are really hurt by someone else not forgiving them. It hurts them to know that they are not forgiving them. And they use it as ammunition. They use it to hurt them. If only Margie would forgive me, I could get on with my life. But Margie is not forgiving her, because Margie wants her to hurt, because she owes her $5 from 40 years ago. That's extreme. But some people, over $5, over spilt milk, over deals gone bad, or things said or things done, will never forgive them. But you know what? Even though someone may not forgive someone for not forgiving them, that person, whomsoever they, either one, can ask Jesus to cleanse them and get on down, because He will forgive them. He will. It has to begin somewhere, though. It has to begin somewhere. Lord, me, I am the one who wants to wipe your feet with my tears and my hair and white perfume. I will, Lord. I don't care what the world's doing, but Lord, I come to you just as I am. It's all I have. I don't have a towel. I don't have anything. You're using my hair, Lord, to wipe your feet, to cleanse your feet. That's just all I have. I'm bringing me. It's just incredible. You did not, in verse 47, anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. Verse 47, for this reason I say to you, for her sins, which are many, have been forgiven. Can we say that? Her sins, which are many, have been forgiven. For she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins have been forgiven. Can we say that together so we can have something that Jesus said in our hearts? Let's say that together. And I want to say what we want to say together, and that's this. And he said to her, your sins have been forgiven. Can we say that? And Jesus, he said to her, your sins have been forgiven. Do you believe that she would have wanted to go out and do the same for anything and everything that's been done to her, held against her, or anything that anybody's ever done to her? Would you think that she would have the propensity to go out and say, man, it is not worth it. I've been forgiven. I've been cleansed. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, I've been at His feet. He forgave me. I forgive you. I don't care what you've done. Do you think she would have went out wanting to shout that from the rooftops? And somebody could have smacked her right then up the side of the face and said, stop, wham, stop that foolishness talking like that, coming from that one who they call Jesus. And you're going to go out here and shout that you don't hold anything against anybody. Wham! What about then? It was very brutal back then. I don't know if they did or not. They could have. I'm just saying, what about then? Do you forgive the wham? See, it's okay now. You're just coming from a revival. You're just coming from a prayer meeting when 15 people got healed and all kind of things happened and people gave their lives to Jesus. Now you're just going to go out and you want to tell the world, and wham! It could come from any source. It could come from immediately around you or something else happened, but wham! Maybe most everybody I could forgive, but right now I'm not enjoying this because my face is throbbing. So we have conditions sometimes of this forgiveness. How many times should I forgive? Seven times? Just a suggestion, Lord. Maybe seven? No. Not seven times. 70 times 7. And we know, we've shared that before. You know where we're going with that. I would love to be able to talk to this precious child and say, man, because the Bible says her sins were many. She knew it. And the only one, not the Pharisees, not the scribes, that was going to save her was Jesus. And she knew it. So today, don't let any obstacle stand in your way to touch the hem of the garment of Jesus, because right now we have access to the throne of grace through the blood of Jesus. We can stay with Him. We can walk with Him. We can live with Him. We can be cleansed no matter how stupid we are at times, no matter how foolish we are at times. The next moment is a new moment. Lord, forgive me. But hopefully, we're growing in that grace. See, that's the point. And I sense that we are. We've been hurt. We've been whacked. Whatever whacking you've had. But there's life in Jesus. He wants to water us. He wants to give us nutrition. He wants to fertilize us and help us and sustain us to grow. Go on. No matter what the world is doing, we're going to go on with Jesus. There's hope. There's hope. There's hope. In verse 49 again, "And those who were reclining at the table with him began to say to themselves," you better believe they would say this, "who is this man who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Wow. He that has been forgiven much and knows it is quick to forgive. How many of you in here realize you have been forgiven much? Amen. We don't know. I mean, you can't even fathom it. How many of you in here, you don't have to hold your hand, but how many of you in here have a heart that really wants to, although it's difficult at times and some memories are there, how many of you really, really, really want to do this God's way and really forgive and let it go? So that you can just be what? Emancipated, the shackles are gone, and you are free, 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 praise God, free at last. Just like you explained. Do not let, even if it was this morning, or if it was 10 years ago, or 30 years ago, do not let that hold you down in your walk with Jesus Christ. It is not worth it. I want to say something. I want to say a name. I want to see if you have a problem with this or not. Because it's a name that's known around the world right now. A lot of parts of the world. I'm going to say a name. Casey Anthony. You ever hear the name before? How many have heard the name Casey Anthony? For a Christian, for those who understand God's word and God's will for us to forgive as He forgave, no one is getting by with anything. So if you feel in your heart it's difficult to forgive her of the great possibility of what 95% or whatever of people think could have happened, although I was not there to witness it, so if God were to ask me, do you know beyond all shadow of doubt, were you there when this act happened, whomsoever may have killed this little girl, were you there? Then you could swear and affirm to the Lord that you saw it. All those circumstantial evidence and all these things point to the possibility of Casey. I wasn't there. And even if she did do it, it's none of my business to harbor hate or unforgiveness toward her. Now, the church may not like what I'm saying. I don't really care. Because if you put yourself in the same situation, we're all capable of doing things and have done things, if not physically, but we've done them in our mind. And the Lord adjudicates that as sin, and you're on your way out of here without the blood of Jesus and forgiveness. So, I cannot comprehend anyone taking the life of this precious child. But someone did, and they did dispose of it in the swampy water there. And nor can I comprehend some other things that people have done in their behavior during this time. My point is, we've been talking about forgiving as we have been forgiven. He who has been given much forgives much. He who has been forgiven little forgives, has a tendency, perhaps little. So in my heart, I could be sitting down around God's people table having supper. Casey Anthony could be there sitting with me as a child of God. Now, some people might think that is such a horrible thought. How could you even go there? How could you even think that? I guess because of the example that Jesus just gave us. There is not one soul on this earth that has not failed or sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. Every single soul. He that is without sin, come up and get your pretty polished stone and cast it. He without sin. No one even then dared do that. Now, without me harboring anything in my heart toward her, without me having no issue of forgiveness in my heart, without all that, what's going to happen to the perpetrator, whoever killed this baby? Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. In other words, I said this to a couple people lately, vengeance is mine. Do not come up here and try to rob me of vengeance that belongs to me. All judgment goes to God. Jesus said, I not even judge. The Father alone judges. Now, don't get confused with, somebody starts throwing garbage in your yard. I mean, every day you judge that as wrong. We're not talking about that. But you don't go over and take your garbage and throw it over to him. See, there's retaliation. That's what's not good. And so you can go talk to him. You can discuss this, that this is not right what you're doing. And you judge it as being wrong. And then if you have to, there are ordinances that can back it up. So we're not talking about it. You can still have nothing in your heart, no bitterness against him. It's just you just don't prefer to be living with his garbage. And praise God that we have laws to protect us for certain of these civil activities and things. So what happens to all the injustice in the world, and all the kings, and all the despots that have ever ruled, and all the people that they have killed, and Saddam Hussein, and Chemical Ali, and all these people have the killing fields, and all these horrible, horrible, horrible atrocities have taken place, and people seemingly may have gotten by with. No, they didn't get by with it. See, but it's not up to you to hate all that was going on and not forgive all that. That's between them and the Lord. See, your walk in the Lord is a walk of faith in Him, knowing that God has everything under control. You don't have to preempt Him. You don't have to go out and go ahead of God to judge the situation. God's going to take care of it. My prayer is, though, I pray that the whole Anthony family will get their act together. A lot of problems there. But there's also a lot of problems in everyone else is looking at them. Right. Including the reporters and everybody else that's making a big deal out of it. I mean, just going on and on and on, milking it for all it's worth, because ratings depend upon viewers. I do not have anything in my heart, and I'm not saying, I'm just sharing a principle with you against that soul. But no one is getting by with anything. And I also pray for her salvation and the entire family. But there are people, and I have heard from people who have a big problem with this. After sharing with them for a while, though, they understand, you're right. It's not that I'm right, the Word of God is right. And I really believe this. The church has a cancer within it of unforgiveness. It's a cancer. It spreads. It spreads. And I pray only for whomsoever may be hearing my voice today, I pray that you will make it your ambition to ask the Lord to forgive you for something and you have in your heart against someone else or situation. To ask the Lord to forgive you, and He will enable you to do this because of the Holy Spirit of God within you will do that. You will be free you will be cleansed. It will be behind you forever and forever and forever, never to be held against you again. And I believe with all my heart that the Spirit of God is saying, do this, and you will see great manifestations of my work in my church, because the people have a heart inclined to please me and no longer holding on to these things in this world. It has everything to do with unsettled issues and bitterness and rivalries and all kinds of Galatians 5 deeds of the flesh. Read every one of them. Emulations and strife, all those things, murders, factions, all the deeds of the flesh in Galatians have everything to do with unforgiveness. And between you and the Lord, vertical, between you and the Lord, as you give these things up, and some people may be even struggling. They may have been convicted of this maybe a year ago, but now they're getting to a point where they say, okay, Lord, you're really after me on this. And when you deal with this, you're going to see a change in your life. You're going to see a change. You're going to see a manifestation in your life. The freedom that was not there before is going to be there. And I want to say, relate that freedom to this way. Carolyn, would you come up, please? And just hold your hand out. I'll take your wrist. Now, move your hand just kind of around, not around your head or anything, but... Free? She free? To a degree. But see, we can think we're free, but there's something there. There's something attached. We can think we're free, but there's something there. That's free. She no longer has anything on her at all. She's free now. She gave a testimony about that a little bit ago. Now she's free. But you see, the devil is a great deceiver. He wants you to believe you're free. He wants these Texas A&M students to believe they can call Jesus or God stupid and think that it's ludicrous to say the things that he said on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, those glorious words, pure, unadulterated, throne of God words to mankind, thinking that that is absurd. They think they're free to talk that way and get away with it. But if you do not and are not ruled by God, you will be governed by tyranny. See, we are the salt. We are the light of the earth. If we do not rise and have that godly spine in our watch, on our day, you will see the law of diminishing returns. You'll see the next generation degenerate. And the next generation degenerate to where there be no need really for mankind to go on, because God is not honored. Well, he always will be. There always will be a remnant. We know that. There always will be a remnant. But I'm saying the world is in major trouble right now because of the forsaking of the living God and the blaspheming that is going on with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Is there hope? Yes, there is. There is hope. Hope, hope. He is the God of all hope. He is the way, the truth, and the life. But no one comes to the Father but through Jesus Christ, the very one that is being mocked. Forbear means to put up with, to suffer. And God certainly has done that through the ages. We're going to talk about that next time. God has really, really been forbearing toward mankind throughout the ages. You talk about a loving and compassionate God. He's been very, very forbearing and very forgiving. And I want to share some of those examples with you next week. And I feel so impressed to continue this discussion on forgiveness and God's compassion and God's mercy toward us. How many of you love the result of this precious woman who came to Jesus, up behind him on the floor with her tears, with her hair, with her weeping? What a powerful illustration. Very much forgiven, very much has an attitude to forgive. May God bless you as you put into practice these things we've discussed today. Forgive, 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 and you watch the freedom you'll experience in your own life. God bless you.